Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning. Happy Friday. It's the 3rd of January. I'm Andrew McKay, 10 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A little chilly out, 43. It's going to stay chilly for the next couple of days, but it's January. Just be glad it's not negative 10, as those of us who lived in the Midwest can definitely attest to. Joining us now by phone, we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays, where they talk all kinds of entertainment news, and also the host and founder of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook, where they get together and watch movies and then talk about them. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. You know, when people ask me why I still live in Florida, I've lived in Florida my whole life. That's why.
Look, I've lived...
I don't ever want to be in negative 10.
I have lived where it has been very cold, and I have lived where it has been very hot, and I don't like either of them, but... I'll take Florida. Florida's just fine with me. My son actually wants to, you know, he's graduating and he wants to go somewhere where it's cold. And I'm like, we'll see. You know, try it for yourself. This week you guys had what? Only one movie out this week? The Damned, is that right?
Yeah, there's only a couple of weeks out of the entire year when there are no major releases. And this happens to be one of them. Which, you know, January is typically, like, pretty slow anyway. You get maybe a couple of horror films, and then you get, like, the awards films that start catching up, you know, that start getting into international release. And, you know, okay. we're actually in the first weekend of awards season because the Golden Globes are this Sunday.
Yeah, and a lot of movies that are, like, released, as you say, limited just to get in under the wire to get into award season, then we start to see them, or national releases, we start to see those through January.
Right, exactly.
So this movie, any good? It sounds like a horror, which is your genre. So
yeah, this is not an awards contender, but it is getting very good reviews. This is, you know, like I said, a smaller movie. It's set in a 19th century fishing village in the, speaking of terrible winters, in the middle of a terrible winter. And there's a shipwreck off the coast of this village. And the people that live in this village have to decide, well, do we rescue these people when we barely have enough food to survive the winter ourselves? And if we rescue them, we could all starve to death? Or do we let them die? And so they have to make this decision, and then they're wrestling with the guilt of this decision, which they come to believe may be more than just guilt.
Okay.
Like
sounds interesting. I mean, you know, so...
Yeah, very good reviews, running in the around 86% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
All right. Do you guys know what you're going to watch next week?
Well, speaking of one of those films that may be an awards contention, although it doesn't look like it, you know, there's been a lot of buzz about. We've got the Robbie Williams biopic, Better Man, coming out, in which Robbie Williams appears as a chimpanzee. Or some kind of monkey man.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with who Robbie Williams is.
I'm not, so I want to confess it. Go on.
It's because you're American. Frankly, he is one of the biggest music stars in the world. He has just never broken through in the U.S. for some reason. He's sold more than 70 million albums worldwide. He's British. He came up in a boy band in the 90s called Take That, which was absolutely massive in the U.K., and had one top 10 hit in the U.S., and that's it. No other chart hits whatsoever. He's never had a chart hit in the U.S. for some reason, but the rest of the world is, you know, as big as, you know, any pot, as big as Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. Yeah. So they've made this biopic about him, and he's chosen to be represented by a, I guess, motion-captured CGI monkey, because that's how he sees himself.
Cool,
so it sounds weird, but there's a lot of buzz about it.
All right. I mean, I'm you know, open to watching most anything if it's going to be entertaining. Okay, so follow them on Facebook to, you know, watch with them whenever they watch. But also, we're, what, 6 weeks out from Pensacon, and you've got Christopher Mintz-Plasse is coming. You've got Angie Harmon is coming. It's always a big thing. And I think when are tickets on sale, come on sale soon?
Yeah, well, tickets have been on, the weekend passes have been on sale for a while.
That's right. Sorry.
We always go on sale on January 1st with our single day passes.
Got it.
So we have a lot of people asking this year. You know, some people are only able to come one day, and that's perfectly fine. You don't have to come for the whole weekend if you're not able to, or, you know, it's not in your budget, whatever. But so, yeah, if you only wanted to come one day, you could choose whichever day you like, and those tickets are on sale now. Of course, you could still get weekend passes and VIP passes as well.
Huge event. Every year it gets bigger and better, and we love it. And, you know, it's fantastic if you've never had a chance to go. Just for the people watching alone, aside from all of the events and the panels and the merchandise and the celebrities that you can meet and all that. Julio Diaz, Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock on Saturdays and the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. As always, sir, thank you for the time. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy New Year, too, and I believe we're not too far away from news radio listeners having a chance to win Pensacola passes.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Signed up on the deal on that yesterday.
All right. 8:15, thanks so much. 8:15 here on News Radio 92.3, the Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. Find out why you shouldn't have New Year's resolutions anymore. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. And let's take a look at I-10, I-110. They're actually looking good. Not seeing any delays on those. Not really seeing any delays at all. Good news. I'm so proud of y'all. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty.
Your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
So when it comes to real estate, trust us at BuySellCannell.com.
That's BuySellCannell.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There is a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for New Year's resolutions. Not because we don't believe in using artificial time markers to inspire people to live better lives, but because the wise thought leaders at the Guttmeier Institute for More Humane Science and Self-Care have now found a better way to live, New Year's intentions. For as long as anyone can remember, people have been tricked into setting themselves up for low self-esteem by the New Year's resolution industrial complex, being told to set specific, measurable, action-oriented, reachable, and time-sensitive, or SMART, goals for the new year. And what have we gotten for it? Failure, guilt, recrimination, and so little success that people routinely joke about how breaking New Year's resolutions is nearly as common as setting them. But now the life gurus at Harper's Bazaar, AARP, and USA Today tell us we should instead set New Year's intentions, which are more about subjective feelings and positive states of perception than objective, measurable actions and results. As Dorothy Chin writes at Psychology Today, setting aside time to reach goals is gentler and more productive than setting goals. So true. The big problem with resolutions is they invite us to try something hard, at which we might fail. But failure is hurtful and damaging to self-esteem. And the reason people have so much anxiety these days is because they've failed too much. So in order to make people feel better about themselves without having to actually do anything to make themselves better, we favor the participation trophy of New Year's intentions, so everyone can be a winner and no one loses. Now I realize some misguided people believe that our modern pandemic of anxiety is actually a result of collectively neglecting our children by depriving them of the opportunity to fail, meaning they never learn how to deal emotionally with failure and not be paralyzed by the fear of it. Of course, that's totally ridiculous. That's like that foolish old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again. No, if at first you don't succeed, set easier goals. So this year, instead of making a foolishly fact-centric New Year's resolution, set a New Year's intention. Heck, set 20. They're so simple to satisfy, you might as well set a bunch of them and sit back to enjoy the sweet taste of empty success. And if you still aren't quite clear what a New Year's intention actually is, other than some vaguely feel-good sounding doublespeak, that's okay too. Just do whatever you like, because you literally can't fail, the rules are made up, and the points don't matter. Enjoy the me time, revel in your self-care, and don't worry if nothing in your life changes. The important thing is to decide to feel like things are better, not to make them actually become better. And next year, we'll probably come up with a totally new way for you to even more effectively avoid the actual hard work of self-improvement. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, former president and, I still can't believe I have to say it, President-elect Donald He Who Shall Not Be Named, for promising to reverse many of the sacred name changes we worked so hard over the last decade to put into place.
That's one of the reasons that we're going to bring back the name of Mount McKinley, because I think he deserves it.
This is outrageous. Do you know how many forms we had to fill out to remove President McKinley from that mountain and symbolically re-gift it to the Native Americans with their nomenclature of Denali? Not Mount Denali, just Denali. And now he wants to simply throw away 9 long years of good practice by changing the name back to what it had been for only 98 years prior to that. Unbelievable! Have you no respect for tradition, sir? But it's worse than that.
And as Commander-in-Chief, I will restore the proud and historic names of our great military bases like Fort Bragg. We're going to get them back.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it, you cad! All this dead naming hurts my virtuous ears. Yes, after we barely managed to coerce, cajole, and cuckold the United States military into abandoning numerous long-standing base names in 2023, now this real-life Voldemort wants to go backwards from Fort Barfoot to Fort Pickett, from Fort Novosel to Fort Rucker, from Fort Moore to Fort Benning, from Fort Greg Adams to Fort Lee, from Fort Cavazos to Fort Hood, and perhaps most awful of all, from Fort Liberty to Fort Bragg. Why would anyone not love the name Fort Liberty? These name changes did such a wonderful job of separating the modern, evolved, inclusive, and tolerant military from its checkered past when they focused mostly on killing people and destroying things instead of teaching soldiers to use more sensitive words. But it's even worse than that. President Not Kamala has actually uttered one of the most egregious statements of heresy I've ever had to hear.
And woke has to stop, because along with everything else, it's destroying our country. We're going to stop woke. Woke is bullshit.
The unholy one still isn't even president again yet, and he's already deserving total cancellation. But how are we to control the minds of these members of the military and the mountaineering world if we can't teach them that their words must change to accommodate the beliefs of the most recent hour? This is unacceptable. He must be stopped. Stay with the new at all costs until it's time to replace the new with the even newer. Never go back. Never surrender. Denali and Fort Liberty forever. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Go rest high yonder.
Finally, we want to celebrate the fine work being done in the Church of England to raise its level of sensitivity and inclusion around the highly controversial and offensive holiday of Christmas. According to the Telegraph, the so-called whistleblower vicar had revealed that clergy around England have been instructed to reassess the hymns being sung at Advent, so that the lyrics avoid upsetting any non-Christians who might find themselves inadvertently thrust into the awkward situation of attending church. For instance, the traditional hymn, O Come Emmanuel, is particularly concerning because it implies that other faiths are outside of God's grace and actually says that captive Israel awaits a ransom to be paid by a Savior God who must come for them in the flesh. Talk about a Debbie Downer at Christmas. Another hymn noted for its exclusionary lyrics is Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, for proclaiming Jesus as the true Messiah, reminding people of the crucifixion, the marks allegedly left in Jesus' hands and feet, and saying Jesus is a king who will reign over the earth. A king? A patriarchal monarch? A Messiah through blood? What is this, the Middle Ages? O come, Episcopalians. Surely you can do better, and we celebrate the Church of England for trying. As an email to the Birmingham Diocese says, quote, try to use language that won't add further confusion or tension or take away anything from the good news of the Nativity, end quote. Now, this is the sort of Christianity we can get behind, one that has no specific content, condemns no one, and focuses on the positive message of hope and happiness at Christmas instead of all this incarnation, sacrifice, death, and resurrection mumbo-jumbo that just makes people feel like doctrine and professions of faith matter for something. For doing their best to avoid causing unnecessary offense, we celebrate the Church of England and award them their second oak leaf for intentional inclusion, which means they are well on their way to becoming an approved member of the Semi-Holy Council of Purveyors of Inoffensive Religious Platitudes. Well done, mates. Cheers. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by I Can't Believe It's Not Utter, the finest non-bovine dairy substitutes you've ever tasted. Not because they taste great, but because we know your taste buds are so starved for attention that you'll think it's amazing. Instead of trying to make these milk, cream, and cheese alternatives taste like the real thing, I Can't Believe It's Not Utter embraces the terrible taste and tells you to enjoy the pride of knowing you're eating something nearly indigestible. I Can't Believe It's Not Utter. You really can taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
So I tell you this only because I know still some of you think I make these up. The intentions is a real thing. Somebody even texted, my wife is shaking her head and I'm dying laughing because she is the one who came up with intentions this year.
That's hilarious.
That's a real thing.
Right.
Being offered by all of these different sources.
I thought you were joking.
Somebody texted me. I had not heard of it. Somebody texted me the other day. Have you heard about this New Year's intentions thing? I'm like, no, what's that? Oh, transgressors. This is easy self-writing. Also, can I tell you, I'm proud of, I Can't Believe It's Not Utter. I'm more proud that I didn't sing, O come, Episcopalians. I should have anyway. All
yeah,
right, John's.
Have.
John's got traffic on the fives. John,
I can't believe it's not utter. It's parquet, you know.
Utter parquet. That's right.
Okay, this report is brought to you by Rapid Radios. Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage for a limited time. Go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. No accidents to let you know about. Things are rolling smoothly. Not seeing any delays on I-10. Just a minor one if you're on Highway 29 right around the Burgess Road area. Other than that, traffic looks good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I do feel like some of the like fake meat companies who make fake burgers, you know, somebody should have done I Can't Believe It's Not Utter.
That's
like
true.
I mean, I know the utter doesn't have anything to do with a hamburger, but still, it would have been funny. It would have been.
It really would have.
Kind of like the car B&B.
Yes.
Is a great name for the, what is it called?
Two row, whatever.
Okay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden is blocking the proposed purchase of U.S. Steel. Japan's Nippon Steel was set to take over the company in a $15 billion deal. In a statement, Biden says U.S. companies have faced unfair trading practices globally and that we need American companies representing the majority of the country's steelmaking capacity to put our interests in the forefront.
Steel has had a history, man. I agree. A foreign company buying. Anyway, go ahead.
Absolutely.
I don't know enough details, so I feel cautious proclaiming, but we need a steel industry. I'll just put it that way. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
The 119th U.S. Congress begins today. The new two-year term gets underway after House members are sworn in. Their first order of business will be to elect a speaker. It's not clear yet if Republican Mike Johnson has the votes to retain that position. And a federal appeals court has struck down FCC rules that kept internet service providers from charging more to deliver content. Net neutrality was introduced during the Obama administration and prevented service providers from slowing down or blocking content or charging more to deliver it. The rules were repealed during the Trump administration, and during the Biden administration, the FCC voted to reinstate it. Thursday, the Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit said the FCC lacked the authority to reinstate those rules.
There you go. Net neutrality is dead. This has been one of these long simmering, like nerds only discussions about internet access, and conservatives generally oppose and liberals generally favor. But it's kind of been one of those, like, it never quite captured the public's interest, but it was always like your political nerds are really into this fight a lot. So, David, thanks so much for that. The basic question was whether people who use Netflix should have to pay a different rate for using up all that bandwidth. That's kind of like rubber meets the road kind of question on net neutrality. What was I going to tell you about? Talking about good sportsmanship stuff. The ASU, Texas running back Nick Sanders, asked Arizona State superstar Cam Scadabo if he could pray for him, and the two joined together for prayer after the Peach Bowl. Good stuff, man. I'll tell you, football is definitely the sport where you see a lot of faith and grace and kindness and character, and I love to see that.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. New Orleans comes together at the college football playoff Sugar Bowl with chants of USA across the Superdome, mourning 14 young lives lost in the New Year's terror attack on Bourbon Street. The FBI says pickup truck driver, the driver only posted about joining ISIS hours before the attack that injured 35. With criticism building about local and national security lapses under President Biden. The new Congress is sworn in today will elect a House Speaker tasked by voters with enacting the Trump agenda. Texas Congressman Ronnie Jackson tells Fox.
Our enemies watch this. They see this weakness, and we are at great risk for the next 17 days. We need to move on. We need to get this man out of office. He had no business being our president and our commander-in-chief from day one.
But today, President Biden blocked the sale of U.S. steel to Japan's Nippon Steel for national security reasons. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 51 degrees right now. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Two people are facing felony charges for throwing dogs off of the Dog River Bridge in Mobile. Investigators say 18-year-old Tavoris Gallery and 71-year-old Mary Rivers threw dogs from that bridge, but luckily the animals were not hurt. Initially, both were charged with misdemeanors, but those charges have now been upgraded to felony animal cruelty. Mobile police say the dogs were thrown from the crest of the bridge on Wednesday. Officers were investigating when they spotted the suspect vehicle. Gallery and Rivers are now in the Mobile County Metro Jail. Police say the investigation into that incident is ongoing. Investigations continuing after two fatal shootings in Escambia County since Wednesday. The first of those happened Wednesday night at a home on Tommy Street. Deputies say a man was shot and taken to the hospital where he died the next day. Then Thursday, a woman was shot between Baldridge Drive and 9 Mile. EMS treated the woman, but she died at the scene. The sheriff's office has not said whether there's a connection between the two. There's no word on suspects or motives in either of those incidents. Community Health of Northwest Florida continuing to recover from a crippling cyber attack last month. They've now restored operations at three pharmacy locations, and those will be reopened to the public. Those locations are on West Jackson, North Palafox, and Bayou Boulevard. Community Health says their 17 office locations are also still open for patients, but some of their services do remain limited. Pensacola's Mardi Gras events kick off this weekend, but after the terror attack in New Orleans, some people are curious just how PPD is keeping local events such as parades safe.
We're deploying heavy vehicles for that very thing. So they're there to stop anything that could potentially come into the parade route or any route of that nature. And that's one of the visible physical barriers that you see as one level.
Randall, that's PPD Chief Eric Randall. He tells News Radio that they have a multi-pronged approach to event safety. They evaluate Each and every event utilize technology such as cameras and drones, and they rely on the community to provide them with information on anything that they happen to see. Well, happy dance is underway at the Escambia Animal Shelter on Fairfield Drive. The longest resident at the adoption center found a home, and just in time for the holidays. Daisy had spent 578 days at the shelter, but she was adopted this year, or last year rather now, just in time to spend Christmas with her new family. It was a good year for Bands on the Bayou. East Hill Neighborhood Association raised $45,000 with their series of concerts. The funds were distributed to six selected nonprofit organizations. Those include Bike Pensacola, the Dixon School of Arts and Sciences, Pensacola Children's Chorus, Rally Foundation, Survivor-Led Solutions, and Upward Intuition. Each of those groups received a portion of the money to further their mission and continue providing resources and support in the community. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. Seeing no delays on I-10 or I-110 if you're on Highway 90 heading into Pensacola. Just see some minor delays there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 63 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. For Saturday, temperatures cooling off, high near 57. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 46. On Sunday, 30% chance of rain, high near 70 degrees and a low near 54. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 51 degrees in Pensacola, 49 in Gulf Breeze, 45 in Milton. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. And your money now today. Taking a look at our opening markets from Wall Street. It looks like the market's opening on a positive note. The Dow is up 235 points at 42,627. S&P's up 35 and a half points at 5903, and the NASDAQ up 148 points at 19,429. 10-year bond rate down a bit, 4.557% today. Gold price is down 750 at 26,6150. Silver price is up 40 cents at 30.30. And taking a look at crypto, Bitcoin down 776 at 96,659. But the rest of the crypto market is actually up. Ethereum, Solana, Dogecoin up 2 cents. XRP is up 4 cents. Apple TV Plus will be streaming live this weekend. The service will be free of charge through the 5th. It's the first time the company has done that. It comes just days after it suggested that content may soon be available to non-subscribers. Early films from Walt Disney, Alfred Hitchcock, and Clara Bow are now all entering the public domain this year on January 1st. The copyright expired for thousands of titles from 1929, making them free for public use. That includes many audio recordings from 1929, including the original Singin' in the Rain, George Gershwin's All American in Paris, and Ravel's Bolero. Early classic books from William Faulkner, Ernest Hemingway, and Virginia Woolf are also now in the public domain. And it's 8:37, our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. This is Your Money Now.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, it's the wrap. It's our opportunity on the Pensacola Morning News to talk with some friends about the events of the week or issues that are going on or you know, sometimes we wander, and that's okay. That's the nature of a conversation. If you get, in this case, coffee, although, well, three coffees. All right. How good. Yeah. You know, no alcohol, as far as I know. I won't ask. Anyway, Craig Craig Heinzman, who is the outreach pastor, community outreach pastor for Marcus Point Baptist Church. Welcome back, Craig.
Hello, hello,
sir. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
And Charles Thornton, who does the Thornton Review, which is kind of a social media slash podcast that he interviews people at length, and also a repeat offender and a former chair of
current vice chair
of the Escambia Party in
Escambia County Republican
Party. Thank you. Welcome back, sir.
And an amazing
always,
man.
Always good to and be amazing. Back. Hopefully we don't get too deep into politics, just a tad.
Well, I'll see if I can make you feel uncomfortable. That's my goal in the new year, because I don't do resolutions, but I do intentions. I did transgressors on this. Had you heard of this before, Craig?
Intentions was the very first thing. How, like, millennial
it's the most millennial
is that? I'm sorry. That just drove me nuts.
Let's set time to think about ourselves instead of, like, actually setting a goal that you could fail at. That's what my first reaction is. Like, this is the most millennial thing I have ever heard.
It is. It's like, hey, let's not set a goal because we might offend ourselves if we don't achieve the goal.
Right.
So what?
And Andrew,
you're like the malfunctioning cyborg. Like, yeah.
Mm-mm. No, no.
I want to thank you for having Craig on. Normally, you bring someone in that we can't find a gray area, so we always. Fred is a member of the Rotary Club. So,
and by the way, I was going to say you guys are joint members in Rotary. There's no sunshine.
The downtown Rotary, yes, the Rotary Club of Pensacola.
Don't start a Rotary war yes. on my show. I don't want to hear that. Five Flags is going to get very upset.
Who? I don't. Do we know who those guys are? Five Flags? I don't know.
No, Five Flags.
I don't know who those are. No, I don't know who they are.
I think they meet on a Wednesday something over at.
To be clear, Sunshine Law is not being violated by you two being here talking about stuff.
Absolutely not.
I'm not on the board.
I'm actually close to something there.
So I'm good.
Okay, let's start with this. Red light cameras are active. Okay, you can get not a ticket yet. You got a month of grace time. So if you're driving through the intersections of like Fairfield and 9th and Bayou and 9th and what's the other one? All of a sudden, my brain. Airport and 9th. You drive through a red light, you can get a ticket. But it's not a ticket yet. It's a warning, and then in a month you'll actually start getting tickets, $158. I try to understand where people are coming from. I really do. I try to understand as wide of right, and I feel like I can usually understand almost anybody's point of view, no matter how crazy. The crazier is actually easier for me. I don't know why. The people who are angry about the red light cameras, I'm befuddled.
I'm with you there. I have no idea why you would be upset by this.
It's such a money grab for the city. That's all this is. I want the right to run a red light. You what? What?
It's just making traffic safe. That's more safe.
All it is.
Safer.
Now, I know they're going to say this is going to increase fender benders as opposed to T-bones and head-ons. I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take that. That's a good trade.
Get off your phone and drive.
Yeah.
I look at it like every time I go to Pensacola Beach, I don't know. I am on the Island Authority, so...
You go through Gulf Breeze.
Yeah, every time I go through Gulf Breeze.
You drive better in Gulf Breeze?
That second bump. The second bump on the bridge.
So Pensacola is kind of piggybacking on Gulf Breeze. Some people call Gulf Breeze a speed trap.
They do.
So we have not became a speed trap yet. I guess our thing is to prevent, is proactive.
I don't like driving.
I love Gulf Breeze. I don't like driving on 98 through Gulf Breeze for this exact reason, but it's safer when I slow down.
Well, and I believe there's an appeals
and
process.
And if that's what happens at 9th Avenue, I'm fine.
I think there's an appeals process if you happen to, you know.
You claim it was somebody else driving your car or whatever. Yeah, well, there's a picture. There's going to be a picture and a cop looks at it in person.
Right. And so it's not like, oh, well, goodness, you know, AI is telling me, AI just gave me a ticket,
right.
Which is not happening. But it's, I don't see the big issue with why people are so upset about this.
It's, I mean, and running red lights is a big problem. I mean, I can't say every day I see
that
somebody
area
run
is
one.
Terrible.
But if you're on Davis or 9th, if you're in that vicinity, you will see people run red lights. And I don't mean just a little bit. I don't mean it was hot yellow.
Right.
I mean, it was hot definitely yellow. Red.
It was orange.
Yeah. I've often thought to myself that I wish I had a dash camera in my car. I'm not going to do one, but I've thought about it. For some of the traffic things I've seen are unbelievable. Really unbelievable. So that's what I think it's a safety measure. But the people are, you know, this D.C. Reeves, he's grabbing money from parking and he's grabbing money from, you know, red light cameras. And he's, I'm like, well, don't run a red light.
Yeah, yeah, it's a safety mechanism. And I went to the courthouse for something, for a swearing in, you know, where you swear to people and citizen. And parked in a bad spot right there on Garden Street, right by the old News Journal thing. And I came back. I couldn't figure out how to pay.
Oh, okay.
I came back. I had a ticket. I paid it on the spot.
Uh-huh.
Electronic $15. And now they have a different system where you got areas where you park.
See, I didn't know you could pay in the app. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know you could pay in the app. I know you could pay. That's how you do it on parking as an app.
But that's what he's saying for the parking.
I paid mine right there.
Okay.
I just went in and pulled a credit card out.
Because you're in the wrong. I've done the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If you're in the wrong, I guess it's the law. So what we have to do. Now, and back to Gulf Breeze. In Gulf Breeze, they give you a warning. Speed trap, red light. Camera,
oh yeah, there's and same thing so, on the streets here. There's a warning.
Are
this
we
is
doing
camera
that here?
Photo enforced. Yes, that's by law. I think they have to do that. The law requires them to put up the warning notices. Yeah.
Okay.
And they went active on the first. So you know, I haven't asked anybody on the show if anybody's gotten run one or had the flash go off on them, but I'm sure people have.
I have.
Oh, like here since the first.
Oh, not for this one. No,
but
Gulf
you mean
Breeze.
Like in Gulf Breeze. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We're talking to Craig Hinesman, and we got Charles Thornton in here for the wrap. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. But if you're at the intersection of 9th and Cervantes and going westbound, you're going to see some delays through that intersection. And also, if you're on Palafox from Marino Street just south all the way down to Cervantes, you're going to see some traffic delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, texting, we got somebody says 437-1620. Somebody says, yes, Five Flags would be upset. And somebody says Downtown Rotary is the Old Spice Club.
No. It's the Brute.
It's the Brute Club.
Yeah.
And somebody else says, I was taught many years ago to anticipate the light changing when driving. Drivers need to be alert. Yeah,
right.
That just makes for safer driving.
Driver's ed at schools anymore?
They do. Not in the school.
Not in Santa Rosa.
In Escambia, yes. Not in Santa Rosa. Also, the driving test or not has become a funny issue. We've talked about that.
They don't do road testing
it's
anymore.
It's terrible.
They
don't. It's really, really bad. Let's talk about the incident that took place in New Orleans. I don't really want to talk specifically about what took place there. We've talked a lot about that on the show. What I think is the more interesting question and sort of more the relevant for us is we have a lot of events in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. A lot of events in Pensacola. And, of course, we have the bollards on Palafox that protect that area that can come up and put down. We put dump trucks. We've talked about this quite a bit. Yesterday, I did an interview with Chief of Police Eric Randall. And I was very pointedly asking, do we have a sidewalk defense? Because having a truck or a car and a cop is one thing, but actually being the physical barrier against somebody driving a truck, which is what happened up on a sidewalk, which is kind of an obvious.
Their bullards were not up.
Yeah. Well, that's because they don't work.
They were malfunctioning.
And they were replacing them for the Super Bowl. It's a terrible story. But in Pensacola, it seems to me like we ought to have, at least around Palafox, sidewalk bollards. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not that expensive to put in. We're in the middle of redesigning the street. I just put them in. We don't have them. Let's put them in. It seems simple to me, Craig.
I think that's absolutely. You're going right now into a construction time. This is the time to put them in. This is the absolute time to do it. And we are not unfamiliar with a terrorist attack in this town.
That's right.
So we are uniquely
understandable. It wasn't in the city. It was at the base. But
right. Still, you know, so certainly something I would say, let's go ahead and get started now.
And one of the things I hate about, I hate reporting on this kind of stuff because I don't want to give people ideas. I don't want to talk about what people could do. But I don't think, it's not like if I don't talk about it, nobody's talking about it, right? So I think we ought to talk about it and be aware and, you know, make some things better.
Someone loaded a Cybertruck with fireworks and blew it up. So the ideas are out
there. Ideas are out there, right. Charles?
Well, I think that we need to be proactive and look at what we have, because we do have quite a few things. We have the Blue Angels, and we have a bunch of festivals and things like that.
Huge crowds.
And get pretty crowded. I think we don't have the demographics and we don't have the traffic at some of the largest cities, but we do at certain periods of time, we do. And so we need to look at the events, and when you do those events, I think it's going to take, we may end up being proactive as bringing in more law enforcement, activating some National Guard, boots on the ground type drones for the big events, mm-hmm. particularly like the Blue Angels and stuff like that, because sometimes when you're out on the beach or stuff like that, because there have been cases where there have been some under-the-radar incidents.
And there's a lot of, I mean, bollards or impediments or, you know, posts. I mean, your Walmart, your Target, they're all over. They're very common as a barrier between where cars are going to be in the parking lot and inside stores. And, you can't make everything, you can't defend everything. It's impossible. Yeah. An open society is going to be vulnerable. But you can defend more things that are more likely as targets, and it's not that much money. This is not going to break the bank to put in a few bollards, in my opinion.
No, and I agree. And we have to understand, we are a tourism city.
Yes,
that's the whole point of it, is bring the crowds. That is what we do. And because that is what we do, it makes it a target. So I think we have to be more proactive in saying, all right, we're going to bring crowds in. How do we protect the crowds? I think one of the design of
which is largely psychology, right?
It is.
An attack here on a crowd is almost certainly never going to happen.
Right.
But it's not whether the thing happens only, it's whether people are worried about the thing happening. And if people come here and see things that make them feel safe, that's to our benefit. Sorry, Craig, I kind of interrupted you.
No, that's
all
right. No, it's one of those things that we didn't think the base would be attacked.
Right.
But it just takes one person with one ideation to say, this is what I'm going to do. So it's possible. And if it's possible and it's preventable, let's do what we can to prevent it.
If it's not that burdensome to prevent or to get to, you know, to do your, and you know, one thing, I don't think we say this enough, and it is important to say, the number of ISIS inspired attacks that have taken place in this country, incredibly low.
Yes. Very low.
Very low.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like there were 50 of these guys out trying to do this on New Year's Day. And that should tell you something, too. It's one guy acting now, we believe, completely alone.
Right.
Just like, you know, here at the terrorist attack, it was one guy acting completely alone. And in a way, that's reassuring to me, too. It's not like there's thousands of these people in the United States. Otherwise, it would have happened.
The reason it gets so much press here, and this is Charles talking, I think it's because the political dynamics in the U.S. now, you know, almost 50-50, 48, 48-52. And every time there's an incident, one side see it one way, another side see it the other way, and the media grabs it and play on that particular, those sound bites. So we're going to get, even though they're not that numerous, we're going to get some exaggerated sound bites because...
You mean the news would give disproportionate attention to an incident out of balance for the general context of the truth surrounding that incident?
Yeah.
Weird. Are you sure?
Well, this is due mainly to social media because, like we were talking about earlier, we announce things before we investigate things and before we research things. And so all of a sudden, here we have all these things that just get popped out there with very little actual story. Mm-hmm. You know, here's something that happened. And then we have to try to sift through how it happened, what does it mean? And most people don't want to do that. They're just going to be, did you hear what happened in Las Vegas? Did you hear what happened in New Orleans? Do we know why it happened? Do you know
what
happened? Are they connected?
Yeah, no, agree.
Use your brain, slow down, you know, think.
And most folks take their outlet as the gospel. And the other folks take their outlet as the gospel. I don't think the mayor and the leadership in New Orleans saw it coming. Could they have done better? I think there was some things that I'm a season ticket holder for the Saints game, so I'm in New Orleans all the time. I go there. I go to all the Saints game. It's no secret. They were not prepared. They were caught off guard, and instead of making excuses. And I just don't think they was ready for the media. So on that first day, they did not do.
No, they did not.
They did not do right.
They did not do because most of the time, all you have to do to the American people is articulate, we made mistakes, we're going to do better, we didn't see it coming, this is moving forward.
The one thing about this story that has, and I wish I didn't have to report it this way. I get no pleasure from it, but the botching of the physical barriers, whether it's the lift wedges or the bollards, and being in the process and it being a decade old problem
and not having a solution
and not having an answer other than, oh my God, I didn't think somebody could drive on the sidewalk. Like, you know, it's that to me, you're going to have occasional people who do evil, but their answer seems to be, oh, and also we had all these problems and we didn't really solve any of them. That's a management problem to me.
Right. And that's, you're responsible for, if you have something that's broken, and because of that, someone gets injured, that's a
right.
That's on you. That's how it works. And these guys knew something was broken. They were like, ah, it's okay. We'll have
slow
one of the
it.
Largest events
yeah.
on the
we'll get
planet.
It for the Super Bowl. All
we'll
will be
figure
fine.
It out. Yeah.
You know, one thing you mentioned about people seeing on social media and the perception that, like, the whole world is falling apart because of three incidents on a given day. Right. I will say this. I've talked about this occasionally, but I used to do a thing as a satire piece called, when I was in Phoenix, called Reverse News. And Reverse News, the principle of it is, you know, like, okay, we'll get reporting on a plane near crash, you know, which is amazing. Nothing even actually happened.
Nothing happened.
But
yeah.
Reverse News is the, like, today in America, 32,418 flights took off and landed safely. That's Reverse News.
Right, yes.
Okay. On Bourbon Street, on New Year's Eve, hundreds of thousands. I won't exaggerate. Yeah. Millions, maybe.
500,000?
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of people partied, hung out, kissed and drank, danced, and went home safely.
Mm-hmm.
And 14 people were killed. I don't like counting the terrorists in among them with them, but 14 people were killed. Okay, in the scheme of things, that was a small incident, statistically. And we don't talk about that either. You know, there's right. so much fear and anxiety around this one bad thing. Well, how many people in New Orleans in that day period died in car crashes? We just had a plane crash.
Or overdoses.
This plane crashed into a house, right? And two people right. were, or something like that. Two people were killed, 18 people were injured.
Yeah.
That's nearly as statistically significant as what happened in Bourbon Street, but it's not terrorism. It's not captivating. It's not all over the news. It was just kind of mentions. And that, my industry doesn't do a great job of contextualizing. And it's the nature of what we do. But that's also true is, for the most part, on New Year's Eve, on Bourbon Street, let alone in America, you were safe.
Generally.
Incredibly safe. But one extraordinarily, it could have been a whole lot worse.
Could have been.
But it wasn't. Hold on just a second, Charles. Let's get traffic from John Pickens. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Everything's looking good on Highway 90 and 98 rolling through Mary Esther. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is like some huggy party going on in here with Meg. What are you doing, Meg? You seeking solace after last night's game?
Oh, my goodness. All she's right. wearing her Georgia shirt. Yeah, she's wearing that Georgia shirt.
Meg is a double red flag car, by the way. She's a double red flag car, so she's a super Georgia fan. Charles, I interrupted you. You were going
to
say something.
The only thing I was going to say is, so we're probably going to have to get ready, and I know New Orleans is going to do something because there's going to be a lot of lawsuits and this and that.
So, yeah.
Oh, so now, that's the other
now,
issue.
That's the second phase of it is each one of those families and all that stuff. So something's going they're going to have to do.
So I'll tell you, you know, to me, the natural thing I think about is things like, you know, do I feel safe going downtown Pensacola
yep.
to an
Absolutely.
Outside event with a lot of people? And the answer is yes, but I also recognize that crazy things can happen.
Absolutely.
Anywhere. Crazy things can happen anywhere. And that's part of life.
Right.
You know, I get in the car every day and I drive my kids around or let them drive me around, depending on who's whatever.
And you may not be on your phone, and you may be a completely safe driver.
But somebody
but
else coming at me at
be.
90 miles an hour closure on Creighton.
Absolutely.
Right? And, like, that's the world.
Driving defensively is tough because you still got to look at what's ahead of you. I try to keep my eyes on the road, and I know you're supposed and you got to
yeah.
watch this.
But crazy things, even the best driver,
right.
crazy things can happen. You know,
you never know.
Houses can have problems. I mean, you know, we want to live in a world where we can control everything, predict everything, and feel safe from everything. And the reality is, well, I mean, Craig, you're a pastor. I believe there's a Bible passage about this.
Yes.
You know, Jesus
Be
gets
anxious
asked
for nothing.
Yeah, Jesus gets asked. The people in the Tower of Siloam fell on them, or Pilate kills these people. You know, what makes them special? Nothing. Bad things
Nothing.
Happen.
Bad things happen. Absolutely. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, and that's it. We're not going to be able to explain it, and we're not going to be able to live in a completely safe world. And the less time we take being worried about it through social media and sharing all the stuff, you know, like when the New Orleans story broke, it was, there were four other people that we're looking for because they were planting bombs all over the quarter. I'm like, What were there? Right. Oh, apparently now there's
turns
not.
Turns out there's not. Right.
Right. So, okay, we didn't have to worry that much. We didn't have to, you know, make
but
it that
first
big
impression,
of a thing.
Emotion, uncertainty, all combined.
Then announced across the world on the internet, and that's what happens.
And to be fair, understanding human psychology, the average person who follows the news probably, even if they know it was just one person, they still feel like it was a group of people, like it was a massive ISIS attack.
Right. You are so right.
Because that's how the brain remembers things emotionally. Even if you know the fact is different, that's kind of how you store it. So
everybody comes up with their own idea, theory.
We didn't get to the most weird story of...
Which is what?
That Texas is representing the SEC right now. That's insane.
And Oregon almost represented the Big Ten, but we won't talk about that. All of the people that had bye weeks lost.
Okay, can I just chime in that Georgia did...
You're listening to...
Twice. Just saying.
News Radio.